today in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Please be seated. There are two distinct perspectives of how to look at today's gospel, and I'm going to try to present both simultaneously. I need you to consider the fact that we are dealing with a young, enthusiastic, dynamic, spirit-filled young man who also happens to be the Son of God, fully human and fully divine. It's a concept most of us have been struggling with our whole lives, especially in the advancement of our spiritual journey. So this is what happens. John the Baptist is baptizing hundreds of people. Jesus shows up, comes face to face with his cousin, John. And John says, "I can't baptize you. I'm not worthy." And Jesus explains that in order to be in alignment with the people and their journey, he needs to be baptized. And John obliges. And then the heavens break open. The Spirit descends like a dove. And God's voice is heard. "This is my firstborn Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." Immediately following this extraordinary high in Jesus' life, his spirit, his emotional state, his psychological state, his physical state pushes him into the desert. Do we understand this from our experience? How many of you have had a really high in your life, immediately followed by the lowest low of the lows? And you struggle. You struggle with who you are and what you believe and what you think and what you hope for and what you dream about. And you may need some time simply to weep. And then as you come out the other end of that struggle, God renews you, gives you a new sense of meaning and purpose and value. Jesus went into the desert and experienced the worst temptation known to humanity as given to him through Satan. He was promised property, he was promised land, he was promised wealth, he was promised power. The list went on and on and on as long as he was in allegiance to Satan. And Jesus made it very clear again and again and again over days and maybe even weeks, "I am loyal to God and God alone." There is reason to believe that Satan left Jesus in the desert half dead. The reference is that the angels came to minister to him, inferring that physically, emotionally, psychologically, and spiritually, he was on the edge. And yet he was renewed by the Spirit. As he spoke of it when he finally got to the synagogue, he was anointed. The Spirit was upon him, and he was ready for ministry. As soon as he came out of the desert, he went on a preaching tour. The Bible talks to us about him going to city after city, location after location, and the Scripture said everybody loved him. So he thought, on a run like that, on his first tour, "Let's go to the easiest place ever. Let's go home. Surely at home they'll love me, they'll accept me, they'll invite me to grow, they'll want me to be the Christ that God is calling me to be. And he stood up in the temple at the age of about 29 or 30. Let me explain. Wet behind the ears. It's okay, you're older than that. You'll be fine. You have more life experience. You have more insight. But for Jesus, he was younger. In his physical being, he was younger. And he actually thought that it was important to be there. Now, that's the one perspective that focuses completely on his inexperience and his age. But there is another way to interpret this gospel. And it's the way I want you to explore for a few minutes with me this morning. Jesus is baptized, is tempted, is renewed, is revitalized. He has a real sense of what's going on. And he appears for his hometown because he wants to announce for them what God is doing in his life. You know, that's a far cry from what I'm doing and letting God know. That's a far cry. We wanted to announce what God was doing in his life. And then he announced the ministry, and man, did he unpack it in very clear, simple ways. I'm going to be there for the poor, says Jesus. The downtrodden, the lonely, the frightened, those on the edge of society. I'm going to take the socioeconomic situation in our culture and I'm going to turn it upside down. And we're going to lift the lowest of the low up beyond bare existence. They were not thrilled with the message because it's okay to talk about people that are on the marginalized edges of life. It's okay to talk about them, but inviting them in is another thing. I love having conversations with Catherine because when Catherine was growing up, her mother would watch for people who were on the marginalized edges of life and invite them to supper. Yeah. And there was always enough food in the house for however many guests might just drop by. I grew up in a very different situation. The door was closed. Churches today have an option between the door being wide open and the door being closed. And for those who are wondering if you are about to get a lecture from your priest, I don't believe that would be healthy. I'm actually here today to encourage you on the journey you're already on. The deacon will tell you she helped run a camp for 20 years and kept kids entertained, made sure they were well behaved, did her very best, pulled together a committee that helped her do that. And when it ran dry and it ended. That's not what happened, deacon. What happened was that you and your team transformed the lives of hundreds and hundreds of children and gave them hope in a broken and shattered world. That's what really happened. You think when you bring a pair of socks or a coat that it's a nice thing to do. You're wrong. It's not a nice thing to do. It's a life-changing, transformational experience for the recipient. Can you hear me? It's a life-changing experience for the recipient. If you've ever walked the streets at night in the cold, without a coat, and with nowhere to go, you would know that when you hand over a coat, dry socks, underclothes, hats, and mitts, you are letting somebody know that they are loved, that they are valued. When you fight for better housing for those who are at the bottom of the socioeconomic scale, you are bringing hope to a group of people that are this close to giving up. The outreach of this place in feeding the hungry and clothing the poor and responding to the destitute is exactly what Jesus was talking about in the gospel. His church is your church. And it is what you are in the middle of doing. So as we hear the words of Jesus, and we know we are on the right course, I'm here today to encourage you to persevere, to persist, to claim the power of Jesus Christ in what you do, and never, ever give up. These are trying days. I was really okay with the recent lockdown until it snowed. And then it didn't snow. It blizzarded. And once the blizzard started, it got worse. And I was pretty sure that most of the piles of snow were over my head. And that if I took the dog for a run and he escaped with the ball over the edge of the snow on the edge of our parking lot, and I tried to go over that, you never would have found me till May. And that's when the discouragement began to settle in. I get it. But we're beginning to hear that things are getting better. We're beginning to hear that there's a break. We're beginning to hear that it's okay to take tiny steps into places that feel safe. We're beginning to be reminded that there is work to do, places to go, people to see, and opportunities for ministry that are waiting for us. I admit I spent a couple of days reading good books wrapped in my sucky blanket, deciding whether or not I was going out at all. I got a lot of reading to do. You're going to hear some great stuff over the next few weeks. But then I realized that the only way to move forward is to stand up and go out the door. And even that is listening to the gospel of Jesus and allowing yourself to be anointed and filled with the Spirit and move forward for Christ. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.